Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn. And I am very grateful that you chose to be with me here on the 16th day of May. Anyway, I'm a poet, don't know it. We're going to talk about, can the world change? This is a real doozy. Everybody writes a little something each time they write something in an email to me regarding questions for a radio program. Do you think this could change the world, or do you think that this could be helpful? All of your kindnesses matter. Every one of them. You must understand that kindness is the essence of spirituality. It is the essence of this lifetime. We live in a very raw place in this life. We live off of our bodies, our DNA, our genetics. It's very raw. And because we live in such a manner, we get ruthless and unkind and merciless. And so it becomes difficult for us to understand how to live in this world, but not of it, without being ruthless, mean-spirited, you know, that whole thing. I don't know if you've ever met somebody you knew when you were a kid, but every so often that happens to me. Someone I knew when I was a teenager, let's say. And the thing about it that was very interesting to me is how they have kind of maturated into this mean-spirited person. And I always wonder, how did that happen? What did you do? What were you doing? What was going on in your life to make you the way you are? And it's unnerving to me when I see this in people I knew that were once my playmates, that we would run around the neighborhood together playing, you know, Zorro or Superman or Batman or things like that, or playing baseball and all that. They just turned mean-spirited. And I always wonder about that. I look at little kids and I see them in their strollers and everything, and I'm thinking to myself deep inside, don't fall for the gossip, for the propaganda that you're going to see in this world. It takes a great strength of character and a huge point of generosity to be able to deal with our life and the people that we have to deal with and the means of which we deal with these people, and keep our integrity in our loving heart, if we even have some to begin with. So that's going to be my premise for today. Hopefully that will help you understand where we're going. And if that doesn't sound at all in your ilk or appealing to you, then now's the time to turn off the radio and go to something that does, because the world... What the world needs now, as Jackie DeShannon sang, is love, sweet love, but what kind of love? That's the real question. What love are we talking about? And that's what we're going to work on today. The first question comes from Donald, and he does not tell me where he lives. Can the world really ever change? Really? And then he goes into all of the difficulties of the world that we have now and the strains, the stresses of the world. And he's saying, you know, how does this ever go away? And he's very explicit about what he likes and what he doesn't like about the world. Mahatma Gandhi, one of the greatest men to ever live and have the courage, the patient said, we must be the change we wish to see in this world. And Donald, that's a very big issue. It is easy for me and you to sit here and bitch and moan about the world and what is going on in the world and say, I don't like this and I don't like that and this should be this way. Armchair politicians... that we are thinking that we know how to change everything. We don't. And the problem is it isn't going to be done with policies and laws and all of that, or wars or anything like that. It's going to be done by changing the quality of our life based in the quality of consciousness. We must attain to consciousness, which is not something that we think about. It is not something we are mentally and emotionally prepared for, or even maybe can do. The more I'm out in the world dealing with people through hospice and just general what I call practitioner work with people, as session work even, I find that people just don't care anymore. This ruthlessness by the past administration has spread like poison all over everything. And it's defining us as people, and we have no compassion anymore. We have no empathy even for each other or for anybody else's causes. All we have is this ruthless verbiage about how to survive in this world, and that survival is everything. That's the way it is. It's the way people think. It's the way they are. I had no idea, none whatsoever, that human beings in this country, citizens, held the president of the United States as their model for living, their belief in living. And what we have had is leadership that has left us soulless, not even thinking about having a soul, just thinking about survival. So, Donald, when you ask me questions about all of this in your email, and you asked other questions, can we really find peace on earth? Can the world really change? No. And Jesus said it thousands of years ago. There'll always be wars and rumors of wars. Always. So with this being said, we have gun-toting people running around with their amendment right about the idea of carrying arms, thinking that they're going to keep the peace. They think of their gun as a peacemaker. If you look at it, you carry a gun that is a weapon, but a police officer carries a service revolver. Get it? Service. It's a terrible, terrible instrument of death. And it can be used improperly, and we've seen it being used improperly by police. And, you know, you got to wonder, who vets these people? Well, they're not vetted probably at all. Their instincts, their ability, their athletic and human instincts are vetted. And that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for people to awaken, to use means of kindness or even persistence in probably the evolution of bringing about inner peace to people. It can't be done. There's so many mentally ill people out there, and I mean mentally ill, and we are seeing it in droves. Shooters every week, almost every day. You don't understand this country, this thing called democracy, which really is not democracy, and I just sends chills up my back to think that people think they live in a democracy. This whole thing is incumbent upon the idea of a well-balanced person, a person who lives in the world but does not let the world live in them. We don't have that. You have to understand, this kind of government breeds contempt. All governments breed contempt. There is no such thing as a perfect government anywhere at any time, because you have so many people at various levels of mental illness. And that is the truth that no one wants to admit. And we breed it in this country by thinking that we can have whatever we want and we're free. We're not free. No one is free. We all live in the auspice of our human body. We all live with each other, and there's limitations at every level. And not to understand those limitations and to understand their bigger picture to bring order to life and to serve other people other than a service revolver, you have to understand there is more to all of this than most people are willing to sit down and comprehend within themselves. There's just more than they can handle. People are shallow, parochial in their thinking, and selfish and rude, lewd, and crude. And we celebrate it with music. We celebrate it with art. We celebrate all of this pain and sorrow in movies. People don't watch movies to awaken or to show the more loving side of the nature of our life. No. They watch movies that show the cruelty of life and getting away with it or trying to get away with it. We admire the tough person, not the compassionate person. So we've got a lot of problems. And Donald, they're not gonna be cured at all, ever. This world is what this world is all about. And you have to ask, Donald, what are you doing in this world? What is it about you that made this world possible for you? I ask this of myself constantly. What is it about me that made this world possible? What is it about me that brought me to this lifetime? What is it about the part of me that brought me into a human body? What is this all about? And if you can't go there, if you can't think that, if you can't understand that, then you're a part of the problem. You have to see it from a very different point of view. One last thing before I go on this. Donald, we've had many people come into this world to offer us peace on earth, and we've killed them all of them. We will not tolerate it. We will not tolerate it. We want a world just as we have it right now, and we don't want it to change, and we don't think it should have to. And I just want you to know that. That's part of the problem. When we don't get our way, then we fight and kill. It's very sad. But it is where we are. And I'm not going to paint the picture there's hope or anything. You have to live on the premise of this. You're either a part of the problem, you are the problem, or you're willing to die not being the problem. I'll leave it right there. Please forgive me, Donald. Namaste. We just don't get it. And one of the reasons we don't get it is we really don't want to get it. We like the world the way it is. I mean, when you turn on the news, it's one bad story after another. Corporations are making billions of dollars off of that. Bad news is, we're the bad news bears of the universe. Next one comes from Karen, does not tell me where she lives. Can we separate from the world and live a peaceful life on our own? Should we be building communes for this? And then she goes into her theory. There are pockets, little here, little there, of people who are prone to forgiveness, compassion, love. There are. And if they live in little communes, they live in little communes. But I don't think that's going to go over well, because you always get one or two people that want to take over and want to rule and want to make rules and all of that. I lived in a magnificent commune in India, and it was nirvana. It really was. And I loved every minute of it. And I knew it wasn't going to last long, and it didn't. But it was there. And it's always about human greed or human fear or human hatred that makes it all so strange. And nothing good ever lasts long here, as Superman said, and he was right. I don't think you should be looking for nirvana here on Earth. Here's what I feel we all need to do. We need to live by the Beatitudes. We need to listen to the message of the Beatitudes. They're all right there. I did a wonderful series on the Beatitudes. It's on the website at aspire.org. Go take a look. It's the strongest teachings, the most direct teachings I think the world has ever known. And it opens the door to the meaning of the Buddha's teachings and Lhasa's great teachings of the Tao. Once you understand humility and teachability, once you understand putting the heart first, the authentic heart first, above everything, then you can start to understand the deeper and more lofty teachings that make no sense to your mind as it currently is, which is always in survival mode. But this would require a great change in you. This would require a deep significance being found within you that you would look at your life and realize, I don't want to change this world. I want to change myself. I must be that which I want to see in the world. And until you are willing to transform, transcend, have metamorphosis in your life, until you are willing to take this much deeper and higher than just merely personality changes and psychological stuff, until you are willing to do that, nothing's going to change. And nothing you do will ever bring peace to this world. Nothing. Real peace in this world would require understanding our network with each other, our psychic, our spiritual network. It would require looking deeper into our motives. It would require looking at our human instincts and no longer being a part of those human instincts. We'd have to work out of intuition, not logic and reasoning. There are so many things we would have to change. So you ask, can you separate, you know, from the world and the woes of the world, as it were? And yeah, you can. You can. You don't have to be a part of it. But if you choose to be a part of it, it will eat you up. Your whole life will be consumed by the world. Totally consumed. You will live by your biology. You will serve the master of your biology. And you will miss. You will miss everything that is important. What can I say? Do you have that kind of devotion? Do you have that kind of dedication? Do you have that kind of loving awareness? Do you have it? You're the only one that can decide that. And if you don't have it, what are you willing to give up for the sake of it? Because there is always a price to pay to awaken in any part of our life. If you're going to awaken, awaken to your heart. Awaken to loving kindness. Be forgiving. You can't be a person that lives according to the manner of the world and your body and think you're going to bring peace on earth. The object of this lifetime is not longevity at all. It is not even peace on earth. The object of being here is to awaken. To awaken to that which is your heart, your authentic heart, that reveals absolute love. Not unconditional love. There is no such thing. All love has conditions. All love has. Even true love, the authentic love, has a condition. Many of them. So don't go there. You're going to absolute love. The love that is perfect. And it does live in every human being. And we must be willing not only to seek it and find it, but to die for it one way or another. You're either going to die at the hands of your assumptive behaviors, beliefs, theories, philosophies, psychologies, or you're going to die in the arms of your authentic heart, which reveals great beauty, great love, nirvana that lives within you. And that's really what it's all about. There will never be peace on this earth. Not ever, not never. Uplifting, huh? Please forgive me. Namaste. The immature person recoils at all of that and fights and gets all emotional, which proves the point that it can never happen. So,
I don't believe that. That can't be. There's got to be something better.
If there isn't something better than thee and me, there's not something better. And the goodness of your heart will reveal that. All right, I got to go here. Last question comes from Susan. Does not tell me where she lives. Am I the world? And I thought this was a tremendous question. Am I the world? Well, that depends. Your body belongs to the earth. Your mind belongs to society. Where do you belong? If you are only your mind and you are only your body, then you are of the world. And you will have to live in the world as such and suffer the consequence. But if you can transcend all of that, you can transcend your idea of yourself as being a human being, a sapient. If you can go beyond all of that and deeply devote your life to the recognition, the discovery of your authentic, then something else can happen within you. Something magnificent can happen to you. You will start to realize what you could never think. You will have impressions, deep spiritual impressions that require no thought whatsoever. None. You will understand that everything is principled in this world. Everything. Everything occurs according to the principle of itself. And that we have the ability to bring these insights and these principled dimensions of love into every facet of our living and create great compassion in your world. And this would bring about a change not only in yourself, but of the people who are of the ilk of you. Everybody gathers together according to their ilk. We don't come together out of luck or chance. We come together based on the ilk, the tendencies we have in ourselves to reach our soul. That is really all it's about. And if you can reach the soul, if you have the tendency to seek the soul, to reach it, then you have the ability to awaken spiritually. And in that awakening is the dawn of a great beauty, a beauty that lives within you, and you will always have your human part. It may never change. It doesn't matter. But you won't be listening to it. You won't be acting from it. You won't allow it to define your behavior and the things that you are willing to do and not do. You will start to realize you're all in for love. You're all in for awakening. You're all in for transformation. That's really all it's about. So if you can do that, Susan, if you are willing of that, you can move mountains and do wonderful things with your life and never leave it in the despair of cynicism, doubt, fear, hatred, and unforgiveness. I hope that helps you. I really do. Please forgive me. Namaste. If you have any questions or comments you would like me to answer, I would be honored. I really would be. Just come to the website at aspire.org and you can email me from there or just email me greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org. Thank you for listening to me this weekend. I hope it helped. Have a beautiful one and I'll be back on the air next week. Again, please forgive me, eh? Namaste.